Rabbi Chaim Kahn. Do you have a middle name?
Chaim Shaul.
Chaim Shaul Kahn, okay. Approximately when did you first come to Lakewood?
I came to Lakewood in Tavshin Chof.
Okay. And where were you before that?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. How many years were you in Philadelphia?
I was in Philadelphia for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Beis Medrash.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Torah V'das all the years before then.
Who was your rest Rebbe in Torah V'das?
Rav Aaron Yeshaya Shapiro.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay, so when you went to Philadelphia, did you visit Lakewood?
Yeah. I had some chaverim that went from Torah V'das instead of going to Philadelphia. A little later, they stayed in Torah V'das a little longer than me, then they went directly to Lakewood, so I went to visit them.
Like, who were they, for example?
And Naftali had Spach.
Yeah.
That's not Heshy.
I know.
You know Naftali has?
I spoke to both of them.
So I know. Oh, you spoke to both of them, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so he was a good cover of mine. Yeah. He went to Lakewood before me. He was really the Siba, that I visited lately. Although it was a natural, if you went to Philadelphia, which is one of the branches of Lakewood, Kamat.
Probably the first branch, no?
I'm not exactly sure. I think it might have been the first branch.
So who did you learn in Philadelphia? I remember.
Philadelphia, I went to all the 3 years. I learned on the Rebellious Shrei.
All the time.
Uh-huh. All the time. I went for one Zman, the first Elul's Zman, I was, we came a whole Chabura. The first time a Chabura came together of Bochum that came out of high school. Uh-huh. Like this, Philadelphia was fed by Lakewood, Bochum, all the Bochum, Yungalite.
Mm-hmm.
But now the first time they really had high school Chabura, Sender Kleinbaum, did you speak to Sender?
Yeah.
Right, so Sender I learned for 3 years with Chavrusa.
Okay.
In Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learned with Shlomo Miller,
Toronto. He was also in Philly?
He was in Philly for 1 year.
Uh-huh.
He came there from Baltimore, it was Iliotson.
Yeah.
And it was a massive... A Masvid Nishlo.
Yeah, I know.
And that's the story of it.
Okay, so...
Well, then I came to... Then in Tavshin Chof, I came to the Elul's Zman.
Before you came to Lakewood, did you have experiences which reflected of Rabbi Aaron while you were here before you came? Like the visiting times.
Obviously, would come and say Shalom Aleichem and came there for a Shabbos and would observe him and watch him
What did you observe in the early times before you came here?
Before I came?
Yeah.
I just observed really, to me as a Bochum, looking at him, he just looked like a walking Sefer Torah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, and of course I stood in awe of the Yaakov Shifts of, that were there at that time, and of course a lot of the Yungalites of Bochum at that time, but then Moshe Hillel Hirsch from Sabbatka, and Meir Stern, those were the stars, and then of course, Rabbi Yaakov Grumman was there,
I don't know if you know the name of that. Yeah, sure.
Rabbi Yaakov Grumman, I went to his Chabura when I came to Lakewood.
Mm-hmm.
So
So what about Rabbi himself, if you came here, how much did you observe of him?
After I came to Lakewood?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you a funny story.
Yeah.
I was learning in the old, obviously it was the old Beis Medrash.
Yeah.
The old Beis Medrash had...
On 7th Street, right?
On 7th. Yeah. It had doors that swung swung open. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like there was a, and I was learning there at night, Seder, I had a stender just about where the doors would open and close. You know, seeing the doors open and close. About 11 o'clock at night, 11:15 maybe, at night. I was there maybe less than a week.
What day of the week was it, you know?
What day of the week was it? I mean, the van was there always. He would come on Thursday.
Right.
And then leave on Monday after the second shear.
Right.
Right. So, I was there, and I see the door opens up, and somebody has left of his medrash. And I see that the Rabban had like a, he had like a room outside of the base medrash.
Yeah.
Where he would learn.
As you came in,
to your left was Rabban's room.
Yeah.
He came into the hallway. Yeah. And the right was the base medrash. So I saw him leave about 11:15. Mm-hmm. Saw him leave the base medrash in his room. Yeah, at night.
Yeah.
He has caught on, whatever, and he was going out. It struck me a little funny from where I was standing, that I didn't seem to see anybody go with him, be malav him.
He by himself.
Yeah, it seemed like that. You know, it wasn't sure. I couldn't believe it. It was incredible to me. You know, I didn't leave my stender.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I took notice of it.
How many people were in the Beis Medrash at the time?
How many people was in the Beis Medrash? I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's a long time already, there must have been in the whole yeshiva about 75 Bachrim and maybe 40 younger lights.
I meant at that time when...
Oh, at that time the Beis Medrash was pretty, very, pretty full. I mean...
With what?
Beis Medrash was full.
It was full. 11.
Yeah, Beis Medrash was full. I mean, you know, a night Seder was a night Seder.
Yeah.
After, you know, the Olam started thinning out, I would say 11:15, 11:30. It was always, you know, there was a group of, I don't know if this is for publication or not, there was a group of Bachrim that were very medactic, you know, that they should have Tefillah Bezmanai, of which, from my background, that was my, then I had a Seder for all the years that I was there with Hetzi Bash, and right after davening, Seder Mishnah Berurah, but then there was the Bukhram that learned very, very, very late at night. Very late. 1:32 later.
Yeah.
And it was hard for them to get up in time for that. So, I mean, you had, obviously you make your choice, you know.
Yeah, it's normal.
Yeah, right. So the next night, I notice, you know, as the doors go open and close, that the Rashiv is leaving, and it seemed again strange to me.
Yeah.
So I decided to close my Gemara. And walk him over, you know, with maybe a 3-4 minute, 5 minute maybe walk, you know, between down the blocks till we came to the place where Rashiva slept. I was in the garage, was in the same building.
What building was that?
That was called the main building, and there was a building called the Bentheim building.
That was on 6th Street?
Yeah, that was on 6th.
Yeah.
And then this building was the building that downstairs was a dining room.
Yeah.
And then the other two floors was dormitories.
Uh-huh.
And the Shiva slept on the first one flight up, and we had a room two flights up. So I decided to walk the Shiva. So what happened for the next 2 years?
Yeah.
I walked to Rashiv. Whenever he was in Lakewood, I walked him home.
He never commented, he said anything?
Well, you couldn't walk with the Rashiva unless he was going to ask you something about what you're learning or whatever, or you had to ask him.
I mean, there had to be, it never was a dull moment.
No, it was a dull moment. So the whole day as I was learning, I was thinking of different shilas.
What to ask?
You know, what to ask? What, if it's in halacha or it's in the sugya or, yeah. or maybe, you know, if it could, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was.
And he was enjoying that. That they
you know, his whole thing was every moment was there. His, yeah. his eyes shone. And yeah. I just remember vividly that in, you know, comes the winter time mm-hmm. and there was snow and ice. And Shai was, you know, Chayshish Chashashon and Shiva shouldn't slip.
Yeah.
So I was Mamish, my arm was involved, you know, enveloped in his arm.
Oh.
And I Mamish closed my eyes like for a second and said, I'm holding a living Sefer Torah.
Right, right.
But looking back at it, and I have told my Talmidim this, yeah. you know, over the years.
Where did you teach?
I started the yeshiva in Denver together with
Yitzchak
Wasserman. Right,
oh, there, okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a Glassman. Yeah. Mr. Van King. I told my children countless times, you see, you know, that there's so many times that opportunities come to us in life,
mm-hmm.
and we remember either, you know, I'll do it tomorrow, or, man, it's time for somebody else to have the rhyme. I mean, you know, I could have had a good Hamina that I'm just imagining it, and not jump on the idea.
Right, right.
Don't buy. I couldn't believe it, especially coming, you know, especially a Rashiva should walk alone. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, just more human. But it was obviously a wonderful, wonderful schuss.
Yeah.
Wonderful schuss.
But I guess somebody like the Rashiva was easy to realize that you had the diamond in your reach.
Right. Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. 100%, there's no shame about it. I mean, your mamish felt it. I mean, Rebellious said on the hesped of Rashiva Zatzal.
Yeah.
He said that, you know, Im Daimel Lech Rabach, Kemal Hashem Tzorkes, he says,
right.
The first time I ever met him, when I got my b'china,
yeah.
and the last time I ever saw him, I always looked, he looked in my eyes, like a malach.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I never, you know, I'm only you become hamish with somebody.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean to say, obviously, you couldn't feel nunt with Rashiva.
Right.
But there was an amos hakovet.
Yeah.
The amos hayira, you know what yeah. I mean? That there always was, and it didn't diminish.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for obviously, the bigger a person was, the bigger amos he had, you know.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
Yeah. Could you describe some what went on by the shiurim? What happened?
Well, let me just tell you
a tidbit.
I went for my b'china.
Yeah.
Right.
That was before you came in.
That's before I came, obviously.
Yeah.
So I got lots of from Rebellia
yeah.
that the Rashiva should give me a b'china, and then I went to his house in Borough Park.
Yeah.
For a b'china. Now I was obviously.
Where was the house?
The house was on 47th Street, one flight up.
Uh-huh.
I think that Punim and Farber owned that apartment house or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And the Shiva had a dira there, I think on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
On 47th and, 15th maybe?
On the corner,
yeah, I think. Yeah. So I went up there, of course, I was not much awestruck, obviously.
Yeah.
And she would obviously try to make me, you know, feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, and a very funny thing, when I walked in, so there was the apartment, and there was Svarim, obviously. It's a very high Svarim shelf.
Uh-huh.
Very high one. And the Rashiva had his Eniklach living with him, I think, not in the same apartment, I think that Rebbetzin Schwartzman.
Yeah.
Who was, I think, already divorced at that point for a knife.
Uh-huh.
So he had his little Eniko, Issa Zalman,
uh-huh.
at that time, Issa Zalman Schwartzman,
yeah.
who was a little child, maybe he was 4 years old,
uh-huh.
maybe, five, maybe.
Yeah.
Akopanam, the child, before I came, had climbed to the top of that. I don't know. I couldn't see how he was able to do it. But so here he is. Here I'm going in for a b'china, thinking about, hey, what's going to happen to me? You know,
yeah.
Well, how am I going to do this and that?
Yeah.
And the Rashiva is had a mixture on his face of pachad, because the child was on the top of the swarm shop running back and forth,
mm-hmm.
or like maybe 6 feet from the ground,
mm-hmm.
and the Rashi is like, I shouldn't say it, but that's the way I felt, just like almost like a fireman, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. who's trying to catch this child, not knowing at what point he is going to jump down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they were scared.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it was clear that Yeshiva had a glee and a hanah from the, you know, from the chevershaft.
Uh-huh.
And from the, you know, he's such a cheverman, you know what I mean?
Like the mazik.
Yeah, a little mazik, and he gave me, the Yeshiva gave me like a smile and a look like a gleam, but still, he was a mixture of pachet.
Yeah, he could be at all levels at the same time.
Right, right. So, the Revitzin saw that whole thing. Now she's also terrified.
Yeah.
But she also picked up on the Shiva's Hanah.
Yeah.
And the Revitzin said to me, Meduchzach, that's the Chanapel.
Yeah.
Meduchzach, Efshar to the Shiva, leave the Einiklach. But Zayvi, I believe, Zayvi told me to. Which really stuck with me.
Yeah.
Which really stuck with me, you know.
And that was obvious then after, I mean, you
probably then you felt it, but I mean, that was my act. I mean, I would have probably enjoyed it more had I not been thinking about myself and my bechina, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But I'm just telling you, you know, images.
Very good. Any other
When the Rashiva, first of all, when the Rashiva, I don't know if you heard this from other interviews or not, but I bemerked it. Because, you remember Reb Shaul Kagan?
Sure.
Now, Reb Shaul Kagan at that time was librarian for the yeshiva.
Uh-huh.
That was his, one of his things. And I helped him being assistant librarian.
Right.
So, I have to tell you a story. I'm not saying there's certain things maybe you don't want. I'm just saying for your own edification.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, the Rashiva was saying a shiur on certain, I think it was on Chadl,
uh-huh.
And in the shiur, he said over something from the Ravan, one of the Rishonim.
Yeah.
And there was in the hallway, there was a library, it's called the Goldstein Library.
Yeah.
It was the old Yidden in Lakewood, who donated
the
library.
Yeah, sure, Goldstein.
It's all golfing.
Yeah.
And it's a night. You know, everything that we compare to today is like, you know, it's like nothing, you know, in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the library.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rashim was looking for the, you know, for that Ravan.
Yeah.
And he had an idea where it was. And he couldn't find it. And I knew that because the Tzetlach were out, you know, when the Shiva were going to be, you know, the Ma'amakimus. So the Shiva, first of all, point, when the Shiva had to call you, and he saw you in the hall, and he pointed at you, his finger never pointed directly at you.
Uh-huh.
He always curled his finger.
He what, curled?
He curled his finger.
Yeah.
In other words, almost imagine like your finger is standing out straight, and then you curl it down a little bit, and then you sort of you summon the person by just
motion.
You know, by having the finger go to you, you know, towards you.
Yeah, right, like a hook.
And there's vice pointing. You know, it's just a made it there occurs today.
I don't know. It used to be very common.
It's an edel kite, you know. But we have certain things that there hurts, you know, that we that we have a sibling talking, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Every little thing counts.
Every little to know, I just happen to notice,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, you have to.
He calls me over, and he says to me, do I know where the Ravan is? Now, I probably didn't answer it. I answered it correctly, but I didn't answer it politically correct. And I said to Rashiva that, you know, I know that I can't tell Rashiva who it is, because I didn't know, but I know that there was some young light that they borrowed it, whatever, let's say a week ago, whatever it is, and they didn't return it yet.
Yeah.
He was very, very, very upset.
Oh, yeah?
Very upset. I wanted to know how upset he was.
Yeah.
He was so upset that he did not look at me.
Uh-huh.
He looked on the ground. I'll tell you that in a minute. He was very upset, not at me, I don't think. I'll tell you why he looked at the ground in a second.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at the ground and he said, "Was heißt? Emerson Kaslum. Psulum Psulum Aidus Lushru."
Uh-huh.
Those words. If I'll be 100 years old, I'll remember.
Was it a private library or was it a yeshiva's library?
It was a yeshiva's library, but he didn't feel that somebody had a right to take a sefer. You take a sefer, you want to look at it, you look at it, you learn it.
You shouldn't take it for the
room. You bring it in, and now it wasn't like you had six chalakim of everything.
Mm-hmm.
He felt it was mamish that.
I have to tell that to the librarian today.
I have to tell you that's Mamish's words.
Wow.
I asked somebody to explain to me.
Yeah.
I mean, the yeshiva was not angry at me. I know he wasn't angry at me. But why did he look down? Why did he look at me?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this happened the year before I came or 2 years before I came.
Uh-huh.
This story, you might have heard it from somebody else already.
No, I didn't.
All right, but there is, so imagine again that building, right, the original building.
Yeah.
Now, in those days, when I came also, there were no air conditioners yet.
Uh-huh.
So it was hot.
Yeah.
In the summertime, certainly, it was very hot, and the windows were open, to let in some air.
Yeah.
Whatever, it could be. We had some fans, I remember. Some we did have some fans, but it didn't help much.
Right.
And this supposedly happened, and because everybody was still talking about it, that's why I'm going on, that it was probably the year before I came, but it could have been two.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy that lived next to the yeshiva.
Mm-hmm.
That means on...
It was Forest and Seventh,
right?
So he probably lived on Forest.
Yeah, he lived on Forest.
Uh-huh.
Next door. Yeah. Anyhow, he would like to take a nap on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Not on Shabbos, he didn't work on Saturday. He didn't work on Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
And before this year, the Mishmeresh was full. Shabbos afternoon,
mm-hmm.
and the other one was learning with Kol Ram.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very upset.
Mm-hmm.
It was disturbing his sleep.
Right.
So he came in once and screamed and made a tumult. He complained. And then the next Shabbos, again, he came. Anyhow, I don't know how many times he came. He came in once, and Shiva was sitting there. And he just was so aggravated that he took a Gemara in front of the Shiva. And ripped it apart.
Wow.
In front of her.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband looked at him with big pain.
Mm-hmm.
Very angry. I don't know if he's... I didn't hear that he said anything to him, but it was really very hurt and very, very incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
In the Chul Shabbat.
Yeah.
Anyhow, this guy was a baker. There's a baker that's probably a man already in his 50s or 60s, baking for 30 years, 35 years. On Monday morning, he went into the bank like he always did.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, while he was baking, he was messiah down for a second, and his hands went inside these big machines.
Mm-hmm.
And took the two hands that he had put in there, not thinking, and garbled it up completely. Completely ripped off the hands,
right.
and deformed his hands.
I never heard this story.
Yeah, this is everyone was talking about it in my time.
Which bakery was that?
I have no idea. I didn't ask the chef's mice. So somebody explained to me that Rav Aaron that night, he was a little shook up because he kind of felt that he had a kapeda, and a rightful kapeda for the chilul of Torah, but he saw that his eyes, and when he looks at kapeda, could be matzik.
Right, right.
So, in a time when he had kapeda, he did not look at somebody with kapeda.
It sounds very plausible.
Right.
Very plausible.
So that's a little bit in that area.
What else could you tell me before?
You know, Dershowitz wrote this book, as you know.
Right, of course.
Right. Now, Dershowitz happened to have been there all the years, as you know, as I was.
Yeah.
And I knew him fairly well.
Yeah.
See, he once asked me, I should tell him some stories. I didn't tell him any of these. But I told him something, so I don't know if you want me. We in Denver, we had a very successful program to recruit kids.
Yeah.
It was called Shabbatonim.
Right.
Everyone uses that.
Right.
Those words now.
Like NCSY.
Like NCSY. But it was like, in other words,
more.
It was like a weekend with a Shabbos, and then the kids used to go up to, we rented out a big place where the kids could, when snowboarding and all that stuff. When the kids came from day schools, huck upon them.
Yeah.
I years, generally speaking, was not there during that time, because at that time when the yeshiva wasn't in session, there were no shurim, I had to go recruit either money or bachrim. So I wasn't there. But one time, Rav Nosson Zatzal was in town.
Yeah.
And he was going to be there for Shabbos.
Uh-huh.
So I said to myself, yeah, this time I'm working out that I should be in town.
Yeah.
So I was there, and Rav Nosson was going to speak for the whole Olam Matzah Shabbos.
Uh-huh.
And I say, think like this. The whole Olam, except for maybe some of the Rashivas, forgetting about the day school kids, they're going to understand Rav Nosson.
Mm-hmm.
Who would understand him?
Right.
They wouldn't understand a word he said.
Right.
So what they did was that they had me go before the whole thing started at night, Matzah Shabbos, and I went, and Rav Nosson told me whatever he's going to say.
Yeah.
So I had an idea of what he's going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then, when he said the drasha, with his whole house upon him in the era, that I translated it into English, everybody should understand. So he tells over, Rav Nosson that time, tells over such a miser. He says that when Rav Chaim Brisker was old, you heard this miser? Rav Chaim Brisker was old, he was advised by his doctors, too hard for him to meet crowds and shake people's hands and say shurim even to the rabbi. But the Olam yeshivas wanted to hear a shiur for a crime. So they agreed to, I think it was Bialystok, was one of the largest shuls in Europe, and the bachrim came from all over by train, from all over Europe, to be by this thing, a big Olam at that time. Now, they made several tefillin. First of all, he was there with two doctors. And he was from a bima. They made up that when he comes down, no one is allowed to say shalom to him. He can stretch out his hand. For him to shake a thousand hands would be too much for him. Second tonight kofel, is no one is allowed to ask any questions. You gotta listen to the shiur, you gotta stay silent, and let him go by, just nick your head when he passes by, and that's it. So everybody abided by it. So he tells over, and I translate it into English. He says, so Rav Chaim is coming down, and he's walking down this aisle, so to speak, and all of a sudden, a young boy with flaming red hair comes rushing into the front row and have them like removed, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, forget it.
Yeah.
Sir Abhayim waves his hand.
Yeah.
And he puts his hand on this young boy.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, lost them up.
Mm-hmm.
Of Nam Nino and Amalstein Halbeveld.
Say it again.
On this boy's shoulders will rest half a world.
That's true.
I'm just telling you this story that I heard from Norton, said it over, and I obviously said it over from him in English.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the story that he wanted me.
It sits.
Because
somebody told me that Mikhail Eiser said on him to say a similar thing, that like after him, he should take over by yourself. Something to that effect.
Well, you know what happened to Shiva Severbrook? You know that, Meiser?
No, maybe. I don't know.
When Shiva had Severbrook, so every night he said a different gang. I'm not sure. I think that it was the Zika Shurim to Nivamas.
Mm-hmm.
A series of Shurim.
Mm-hmm.
So he was 22, 23, whatever he was at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Every night for an hour and a half, he said over a different Mahalach
mm-hmm.
in the Rambam and Ravid.
Yeah.
And the Gedaila Elam was here.
Right.
So who was there among the Gedaila Elam? It was what's his name? The Kovner Rav, what's his name? Rav Chana,
Yitzchak. He was still living, right?
Yeah, Yitzchak Chana was still alive.
Oh.
So he came when years later, when Rav Aaron left Smutsk.
Yeah.
And came to start his own yeshiva in Kletsk.
Yeah.
So there was an asif of Rabbanim in the house of Rav Chaim Eiser.
Yeah.
Rav Chaim Eiser was a central place to disperse all funds
for right.
all of that yeshiva
right.
in Europe. So in comes this yeshiva, a new yeshiva. She was Kletsk.
Mm-hmm.
And the old yeshivas were Maranin. What is this? In other words, he's coming in now to claim the pie and to another slice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a finite amount of money.
Yeah.
A finite amount of noises.
Mm-hmm.
So Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, who obviously saw who Rav Aaron was at that time,
yeah.
years before, said, Azoi Grois the isn't yet is a shen yet.
Is a shen yet.
It's a shen yet. That meant in learning.
Yeah.
On in Hanhaga, to be a managadar, at a Chama Ibishtay.
Huh?
So staying over all of you.
Uh-huh. I never knew that he was still alive at that time.
Yeah, that's the way I have a couple of the story. I mean, I can't remember now.
Must be very old.
I heard this story many times.
Because it's so funny.
I have
to look up, see when it was lifted.
All right, you have to see when it was lifted. But that's the memory.
Because I have it right here in front of me. I can look it up right now.
Okay.
Let me see what it says. Spectre, right?
Right.
It's smart enough.
We'll
figure it out. Spectre. Let me see. there. Let me see. Let me see. It's not coming. Spell. Maybe it's the Isaac. Oh, okay, she will book them. Probably Isaac, probably. Maybe it's Hark. Oh, give me why you. Here is his picture. Let's see what it says. How old he is. Okay, what? 18, he was there 1896. It must be somebody else.
Must be
Osman. It could have been him.
Could have been him,
yeah. He was born in 1817 and March 6th, 1896.
96 he was
after, right? Yeah, right.
So that, right, so
it can't be him.
Right. Maybe the Chaim Weizer himself.
That sounds more like it.
Could be Rav Chaim Weizer.
Who's Chaim Weizer?
Could be Rav Chaim Weizer was there.
Yeah.
At the Shavuot
Brachos. That makes more sense.
Yeah, though. First of all, Rav Chaim Weizer is the one that feared on the whole Vada Pali Yeshiva. Yeah. So a memory of his.
Right. Suddenly put the Yeshiva on the map.
All right, good. I'm glad you got that corrected. I know the Mises.
I have to go through here. Yeah. I get people telling me stories which are complete fabrications. Terrible.
You have to go research it, you mean?
No, the guy was telling me the story, I suspected there was something wrong. Because he told me a story that with Moshe and somebody else and this.
Right.
And it was very 10 years after he was Nifter.
Right, right.
So I said, I didn't tell the guy in his face. But I said, you're telling me stories here. Who are you talking to? A little boy? I can't tell you, you know the guy, and I'm not going to tell you who it was.
Sure.
But I said, come on, you know.
Right.
So I figured I got to be very careful. People are going to come up with stories. You don't even know. But I couldn't believe it. But then I said, okay, this guy, he can do that. He's not into type.
Listen, the Shiva was marked very much.
Was marked an Emes.
In the Emes of Mises. Mm. You know Mises with the Shiva with the, when he was sick with the Chiddush Harim?
With the Chiddush Harim?
Yeah.
No, I don't know that story.
The Shiva was very sick.
Mm-hmm.
Not sick enough to be in the hospital, but sick enough that he couldn't learn.
Mm-hmm.
And that had been pretty sick.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in his room, dormitory room, and they gave him a book to read.
Yeah.
So he should at least warm him up on his time, but he went on the whole the same string as when he learned, because he wasn't too schmuck for that.
Mm-hmm.
So that book was a book on the life of the Chiddush Harim. So the Rishim is reading it while he's lying in bed.
He must have been very sick if he had to read a book.
Right. Yeah, 100%. I mean, there's not...
I can imagine reading a book.
I mean, he was never bothered from learning.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Not a minute of his life.
So I have trouble, I have a very hang-up. Why they print those things and give them out in the shuls? You know, they keep on printing stuff.
Oh yeah, they give out.
And they give out in the shuls and they make a whole mess. And I said, why can't people learn? Why do they need this for?
No, it's not only that. It's awful. A pretty well received house for the davening. The little time you come into Darren, the people all of a sudden get interested in it.
But nobody says that any place of Pat was opposite. It's just like,
I think
it's crazy. I was in Shalayim.
You know what I think it is? I think it's probably some sort of rationale that some of these people would not even see a say Yiddish vart at all.
Is that, yeah, then they get, the newspapers, the Ruta, the Hamodia, they got the Yatel. How is it Mizrach? I don't know.
I have no idea. I don't know.
So I just, because I know some people, like the people who take care of the shuls, right, are marked without even to let them in, because they have to clean it up.
Yeah, it makes a big mess.
Yeah, and they have to clean it up. So people think that Mizrach is the Olam. I don't know if they are or not.
I hear you, though. I'm not
prosecuting that. Yeah, that's one of my pet peeves.
Listen to this.
Yeah.
So he's lying in bed and he's reading this thing because he has two shmachtas to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a
sudden,
should
I record this?
Huh?
Oh, it's a recording, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on.
So all of a sudden, a scream comes out of the receiver's room.
Yeah.
So, you know, the dormitory room. So someone knocks on the door and comes in and sees that the sheev is there, lying in bed, all aggravated,
mm-hmm,
and the book on the Chedusha Rim is thrown on the floor,
right,
in anger.
Oh, yeah?
So they say, Rashiva, what happened? What's the matter? So Rashiva says, look, he says, I'm reading this book because I can't learn right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reading to see the hear the godless of the Chedusha Rim.
Yeah.
So they write in the story that the Chedusha Rim was such a Kodesh B'tahar,
mm-hmm,
and you know, Tzadikim, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, was not maybe Tekola HaYadam.
Yeah.
So somebody brought him a glass of milk,
yeah,
from an animal, Shalom Nifta Kiyon Chosai. Shalom Nifta Kiyon Chosai. So, they didn't tell him, and he was going to drink the milk, and then he put it away.
Mm-hmm.
So the Rishiva said, what's this? A b'char shal v'niflik ha'chavai. The only type of b'char that has an opinion is a b'char which is a zocha.
Right.
A zocha has no milk.
Right.
He was so angry. He said the Chedusha Rim wasn't big enough that we could tell emissary stories about him. We have to prefabricate lies to make him look good.
Mm-hmm.
He was so, I'm just telling you, you know, he was very back with the receiver.
Yeah,
and somebody, if a story has to be told, you know, to my show.
Yeah, that's a silly story. Stupid.
I know, but, yeah, first of all, the guy, obviously, who made it up, you know, was vice versa, not a learned person.
Yeah.
You know, but the receiver, you know, in his quickness, picked it up and was aggravating. So there was a, you know, because he felt that there was something about stories that has a chesivus to it.
Right.
The chesivus says that there's a big, I can't tell you now, the chesivus has a whole story about stories. But I can't go into that.
Yeah, okay,
I can't
get
back to my work.
Okay, fine.
All right.
Cool. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I was about probably, I imagine it must have been 25 years ago, maybe a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, not that. 35 years ago.
Yeah.
I went to Chicago, and there was Menahel of a certain day school that I was interviewing kids,
mm-hmm,
to come to Denver.
Yeah.
That was part of my job besides the singing shit.
Yeah.
So we're sitting by lunch by his table, this Rabbi Feuerman at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to me, he asked me, Israel, he says, you know, I know about him. I mean, by reputation. He's a Mechonach and Slopatka, and looking for Godless Adam, and all those, and you know, he says, how would you say he cared and related to an average Bach?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he asked me.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, I have to tell you, I would consider myself an average bacha when I went to Lakewood.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell you a maisa, how I felt, how I related to Rabban, and Rabban related to me.
Mm-hmm.
I came to Lakewood from Philadelphia, I was 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I was there maybe in yeshiva, maybe 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents had for me what they considered at that time a klik shidduch.
Uh-huh.
It was a new fledging thing, Here was a shiva where the prospective father-in-law had three children that they supported in Kreil, all chashuvim in the light. And now there's a fourth daughter, and they're running with the shiva. My parents said, look, we don't have the money to help you out, but if you really want to learn, So I said, you know, before I even consider a thing like this, I certainly have never had a minute to start a parsha at 20 and a half. So I said, I have to ask the Reshiva. So I went to Reshiva and I said to Reshiva, this is the story. So Reshiva looks at me and says this, if you want to start the parsha and get married because you come from a Hasidic background and that's your minig, that's your minig of your family, you know, to live with a fishnext. But if it's a shidduch you're looking for, blind baman, and he says, this is not the one for you. So he looked at my face. He obviously has written the question mark, was written all over my face. And he says to me, the Welt meint as the Yid of Yelt. It's Galvan as the Nishtar. Now, listen, I didn't need more than that, you know, for coming. He said it, very clearly. So, I went back to my parents. My parents said, look, if you went to Shiva and he told you that, no, in certain terms, who are we to say anything? Go back and, and learn. So, I went back to Shiva the following, I don't know if he was there, I'm trying to remember, it's a lot of years now, if he was there that much to that Shabbos, or if he was not for some reason, maybe it was already a week and a half later. And I went to speak to him right after the shiur was over. He said a shiur, obviously in the winter time, he said a shiur on the Shabbos. After the shiur, he had to push it. He had a rosh chop, he had to sit down by his chair and just his face was flaming. Red, but he had a rosh chop. The ganze shiur was in his tire. So, after I see that the Kugel of the epistle, so I walked over to him and I said, could you read the Elton? I told him, and obviously the mask 100% and the stuff was misread. So then I started walking away. So he called me back. And he says to me like this, you don't have to worry. When it comes to your shidduch, I'm choosing him myself. Should I tell you that I walked on air? I never walked on air like that. My mamash was in the shmishmai.
So this shows you how we had concerns.
I'm not finished with the story yet. So, of course, I went back to learning. I was interested, and Reshiva said that, I wasn't interested in listening to any shidduchim. I was into learning. Fatik, some of my chaverim, like Etzi Bash, who was a very good chaver of mine, got married young, they got married a little later. So, a half year goes by, a year and a half goes by, so now it's right 2 years after I'm in Lakewood, and the Reshiva gets sick, and Reshiva's nifta. Now, the year that the Reshiva was nifta, except obviously from the Bachram that were already into the parsha and going out, or obviously had chassan scheduled, Tochim HaMaderach Klal was not that interested in going on in Shidduchim. Tochim was really looking for a chizuk where we stuck to Rachim, learning by just learning. I learned this after Ksubas twice with Rish Shalem. I mean, that year, Downfield Arena was like very much into it. So that was that year, really. Then the following year, after the receiver was left out, I started at the Parsha of Shidduchim. And, you know, those years, I don't know, my kids don't even understand it. You took in the public service bus, or you took in the other bus, I forgot the name of it already.
Yeah.
You took it to Port Authority, then you took a train home.
Right.
Who had cars? Who had cell phones?
Right.
Had a nice guddle,
Yeah.
And just the way Shidduchim work, I wanted them all. The other side didn't want.
Yeah.
And a Shleptuchos, that was really an unkimminish.
Yeah.
It was really an unkimminish.
An ordeal.
A real ordeal. So now it's ready, Yom Kippur. I was ready, going to be 24. So it was in Kippur by Nila, and I don't know why. I can't. I told over this story sometimes, many times, but I can't tell you why this didn't fall me in. Especially if I had such a hard time. The Shiva had promised me that he's going to pick out my Shiva. So I was holding my Nila, it struck me like a lightning, and I thought in my mind, Yedoylem Tzadikim B'misosom Yosem
B'chayim.
So I said, with tears in my eyes, I said, Rebbe, I'm holding you by your promise.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Uh-huh.
And I cried into my Marza, and then I dab a Marza, and I ate something, and I took a bus home. And it was about 12 o'clock at night that I came home. My mother, Lashon, was waiting upstairs to look by the window yet. And as soon as I walked through the door, she says, and then she says to me, you know what? Tonight, right after Havdalah, immediately within 5 minutes, you got a call from somebody who knows you for many years, and he knows this girl, and I insist that you go out with this girl, my mother.
Yeah.
I said, us likewise. We don't go out with, between your kippah and sukkah. So, I didn't buy any lulav and esrog. My mother says, I'm telling you, you're going out tomorrow night. So remember,
yeah.
I confirmed that was my kava, my wife.
Oh, there he is. Says, Mamish on the spot.
On the spot. So what do I mean to say? You see the feeling, the agosha, that first of all, that the tzuzak from him, and the feeling of nunshaft that Talmud could feel years later, the Rebbe Tzuzak, the Rebbe of Milib, of Menzin, you know what I mean? I'm just giving you that type of barometer, just
for... That's very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
I told it to Revulsion once by a chasma.
Yeah.
So, and they were calling him up, you know what I mean? They're for a kibbutz.
Yeah.
But I was telling him the story, and he didn't hear them. They kept on going until somebody came from the front to pull them up. because they themselves didn't even really know the receiver, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm talking from at that point, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Such a yachas. Those are some of the dull tidbits, I would say that.
What?
Those are some of the tidbits. I like to tell you stories, but there are well. Of things that I had my own,
Of course.
My own pegisha with some of
the things. You're a good observer.
Well, just listen, it was such a schuss.
Okay, what do you do now?
Now I teach a little bit in the mornings.
Where?
Privately. There's a certain Balabatam that's like, that I gave them a little bit of a geschmack to learn. They started with Chumash, now we learn Gemara, that's a Chumash, that's kind of my panacea. And then I do other things, which is not the Yad to Chinuch, and I also write drushes for people anonymously.
Very good. Okay.
All right.
Give me your name again, I have to make sure I've got it right.
Chaim Kahan.
Chaim, what's the middle name? Yeah. Hans Olcan. Okay, fine.
Right.
Thank you very much.
All right.